Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us for the broadcast today. Let me ask you a question. The question is very simply this. How do you prepare your children for life's ups and downs? I think every parent has asked themselves that question, and prospective parents have thought about this as they're thinking about having children and want to be able to teach their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. How do you do this? What's the methodology that we should be using in order to implement what the Scripture tells us we should do? I'm thinking about Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, where it speaks there about that we have a responsibility for these things, first of all, to be in our own heart, and then to teach them unto our children. Deuteronomy says that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, as I mentioned. How do we push back against the harmful messages of the culture that is all around us? As you know all too well, when you turn on a television set or just take your children out into our culture today, there are many, many messages, and oftentimes ungodly messages, that are being foisted upon our children as we go throughout the culture. How do you push back against that? How do you give your kids something better? Well, that's what we want to talk about on the program today. We're going to be speaking with Star Mead. Star has served for 10 years as the director of children's ministry in a local church, and she has also taught the Bible and Latin classes in Christian school. She lives in Mesa, Arizona, where she is currently teaching classes to homeschoolers. And she has written a book entitled Give Them Truth, Teaching Eternal Truths to Young Minds. I think that this is something we really need to discuss, something that is very important in today's day and age. Star, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Well, thank you.
Well, Star, let's give you the opportunity right at the very beginning of the program to give us a little bit of a summary of what listeners will find when they get a copy of your book. How about just a good working summary that we could work with?
Well, my basic premise, based on years of experience I've had working primarily with children from Christian families, is that for all that parents are taking their children to church, giving them experiences of Christianity, mission trips, etc., they're not teaching them the content of the Christian faith or of the Bible. Mm. I see that ignorance over and over and over. And so the main motivation for writing the book was to bring that to people's attention. Just because you're taking them to church and maybe reading them Bible stories sometimes, that does not mean that they know the Bible or Christian content. And that's what's going to prepare them for life's difficulties as they meet them, because we are going to meet them. We live in a fallen world. So the first part of the book makes that case. The second part of the book discusses the basics that all of our children should know well as they grow up. And the third part of the book gives you some how-tos, some tools that you can use.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell our listening audience that the book is published by PRP Books, or that's their website. Presbyterian and Reformed Publishing is the actual publisher. Their website is prpbooks.org, and you can go out there in order to get a copy of it. That's www.prpbooks.com. I said .org a moment ago, but it's actually .com, and you can go out there in order to get a copy of the book that we're talking about today, Give Them Truth. Star, for the listeners' sake, let me tell them that part one of the book is entitled Why Our Children Need to Know. Part two is entitled What Our Children Need to Know. And then part three is How to Help our children know. Now, there's one word that keeps coming up, or a couple of words that are repeated in each one of those headings, and that's the idea of knowing. Something near and dear to my heart, the broadcast is called Knowing the Truth. And so I really believe that the idea of imparting knowledge, biblical knowledge, is the key to victorious and joyous Christian living. Would you agree?
I so would. It's absolutely the bottom step. It's not all there is, of course. And we've all known the little girls who come to Sunday school and they know every answer, or the little boys too, for that matter, and they're all so smug and proud of themselves, and we all want to not have that be our kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the answer, of course, is not to not give them that knowledge, right? It's just that there's a lot more that you do beyond giving them the knowledge, but it has to start with the knowledge, and you can't skip that basic step, which unfortunately I think many churches and many parents tend to do, whether deliberately or not.
Hmm. Is there a bit of an anti-intellectualism in the church today?
Oh, my goodness, yes. There certainly is. And I saw it as a Bible teacher in a Christian school. I saw it actually put into words. Well, that's just a bunch of head knowledge, and we don't want that. We want heart knowledge. But, of course, you can't have the heart knowledge until you have the head knowledge. What is there to love if you don't know, you know, what it is you're supposed to love? So.
Seems to me, in my pastoral experience and so forth, and just conversations with various people, that there's a lot more about feelings today rather than knowing.
Feelings and experiences, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so people are judging, their discernment is based upon, you know, what sort of sense, the sense of feeling that they have associated with it, rather than what would come from having a knowledge, or as your first chapter heading says, head first, truth is for knowing. So rather than using that basis, objective knowledge that they, you know, have studied and understood, using that to then discern, they're more just, you know, well, it feels right, it feels good, I'm going to go ahead and go forward because of my feelings. Do you run into that quite a bit?
Yes. Yeah, right. And again, and the experiences, just wanting to have a good experience at church, whether I'm an adult worshiper and I'm enjoying the music and whatever, or whether I'm providing something for my kid. Well, I want them to really like being here, so let's give them a rock climbing wall and let's give them lots of good, fun experiences. And if we have time, we can tag on a devotional at the end, right?
Exactly. That's youth ministry, modern day evangelical youth ministry in a nutshell, I think. And unfortunately, it has been adopted almost whole scale by so many churches today. And that same sentiment that you were just talking about, that I want my child just to have this real positive experience and knowledge, imparting knowledge to them is not going to be that positive experience that I want them to have. And therefore, I'm going to, you know, play that down and play up, you know, something else. So I wholeheartedly agree. You point out that in the second chapter that truth is a lifeboat for future storms. Unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and storms are coming. It may look sunny today, but like in the book of Acts, where Paul was on that ship towards the end of the book of Acts, and they said, well, it looks like fair weather, let's head out, even though it was past the sailing season. And they head out, and then they run into a tremendous storm. The storm is coming in our children's life, and the tools that we need to give them to weather those storms are...
good theology.
Amen. And that's what you talk about in that second chapter. What are some of the truths that you go over then in those that they need to know in order to weather these types of storms?
And this is actually based on my own experience. There is nothing that helps me through tough times than knowing solid, you know, foundational, basic Bible truth, especially about who God is. You know, when you realize that whatever difficult thing it is that you're going through was designed for you by a God who is sovereign over all things, who controls all things, who does, to whom there are no accidents, who loves you so much that he gave his son to die on the cross for you, who has all power and there is not a single little molecule out in the world who's out of his control, when you know that that hard thing you're dealing with came from his hands, it makes all the difference in the world about how you're going to meet it. So I can't think of a single thing that you could run into in terms of a difficulty that would not be, you know, greatly, it would help you so much to know who God is as you deal with that thing, and not just to have a passing sketchy knowledge, but to have it deeply ingrained in your soul. I refer often in that second chapter to how it's like a default position. You know it so well that you come back to it by default when your feelings and your thinking and everything else is just temporarily out of control because of what you're facing that's so difficult, to have that as the bottom, underneath it all, foundation that you've grown up with seems to me would do so much for you. And again, I acknowledge, I don't want anyone to misunderstand, this isn't all there is to Christianity. Once you know that truth, of course, it has to be your own. You have to, God has to have so worked in your heart that you receive that truth, you believe it, you act on it, but it's got to be there in the first place for all those things to happen.
Mm-hmm. I think that people neglect to remember that the pattern of the way that God works in our lives. One is he loves us, and then we love him. And then out of that communion, we then are enabled to be able to do what God requires of us to do. But it begins from doctrine to deeds. And so oftentimes today, I hear the call for deeds. We need to be doing this and doing that and so forth. But we don't have the stamina. We don't have the impetus or the ability to do those things properly. Primarily because one of the reasons is that we don't understand the doctrine from which those deeds are connected, or to which those deeds are connected. So I find that that is the case, as you mentioned, not only with children, it's just that's the group that we're addressing here today, but it's also with adults as well, and it's kind of spilling over into the way that we train our children. Excuse me. I posted a statement yesterday. This one was by Burke Parsons from Ligonier Ministry. But just a little part that I posted was called Our Doctrine Determines Our Destiny. And then the whole article was entitled The Heresy of Indifference. And he was making the case for doctrine. This is the point that we've gotten to in our churches and in our society today, that we now have to make the case that learning about God and learning about ourselves, who we truly are before God, and learning about how we should react to the things around us, now a case needs to be made for those things. That's kind of a sad time, I think, that we live in. Would you agree?
Oh, yes, definitely. Right.
Let me ask you about the particular knowledge that is necessary then. You talk about in part two of your book, What Our Children Need to Know. And you've got God, Scripture, humanity, Jesus Christ, salvation, the church, and God's law. So seven different things I think are listed there, or categories that are listed there. Let's talk about those things, why you selected those particular things, and then maybe we can go through a few of those as well.
Well, I felt that was a fairly comprehensive range of the basic things that Scripture addresses in terms of doctrine, who God is, what Scripture is all about, who I am as a human being, what, you know, man is fallen, but man is also created in the image of God, who Christ is, because, you know, honestly, to just know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins is really, there's a lot more to know than just that, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why him dying on the cross for our sins makes a difference, and you need to know the reason. You need to know who he is. And then salvation, what's involved in salvation, that it's far more than just raising your hand at the campfire at camp. What the church is, that's one that tends to be very much neglected in our day. You know, we can all be Christians just in our living rooms happily without, we don't need a church. And then, of course, the application of it all, that we, you know, that we we do live holy lives. We were called to be holy, not just to believe a set of truths. And so the final one was God's law, walking in the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the list was very comprehensive, and I love the way it begins with God. Everything begins with Him, and to know Him, which He has enabled us to do via the power of the Holy Spirit, is eternal life itself, Jesus mm-hmm. said in John 17. So the knowledge of God Himself is the primary aspect, I would say, of salvation, that we get this opportunity to know this wonderful and awesome and loving Heavenly Father. And Christ, of course, is the means by which we're brought into that relationship. Do you use a catechism star in your book here? Is that part of the way that this is formulated?
Yes, to come up with that list?
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
Part of the, for the list, yeah. And then I imagine I'm going to spill over into the third part about how to do this,
right.
But in that section as well.
Right. In the third section there, when I taught at a Christian school, it was a classical Christian school. And for those who understand the concept of how classical education works, when children are young, you're just drilling them. You're giving them tons of content. It's called the grammar. Every subject has a grammar. You teach them, if it's history, you're teaching them names and dates and places. If it's actually English, you're teaching them grammar rules and how to spell and how phonics work. If it's math, you're teaching them all their math facts. Just the basics that you need, foundational things that you need to do any subject well. And you just pile it on them, because children are amazing in the way they can just absorb so much information and retain it. And so in my third section of the book, I talk about the grammar of Bible and the grammar of doctrine. And the grammar of doctrine is well served by using a catechism because it's all broken down into all the important things that children should know in simple, or anyone for that matter, in simple, concise answers. And I do use modern English versions. I have the Westminster Shorter Catechism in Modern English that PNR put out some time ago. But it's we do love the old English, and yet for children, I want them to understand what they're memorizing. I don't want them just to memorize words without knowing what they mean. So I do use the modern English version of it. But yeah, I mean, it just breaks it all down into simple, concise statements, and if the children memorize it and review it and memorize it and review it, they're going to have that for the rest of their lives.
There's a call in society today, or this one I was reading just this morning, it was posted yesterday, but it says, it's time for Christians to separate themselves, and the author of it, Joseph Farah, I think is how you say his last name, F-A-R-A-H, and he was saying that basically that parents need to pull their children out of the government schools and so forth, and really start focusing on teaching them apart from the culture today, that we could kind of get away before because there was a lot of Christian influence in the culture, but now a lot of that is gone, and we really need to do much more on separating ourselves, if I could summarize what he's saying here in the article. Would you agree?
Well, let me be careful here. I obviously have chosen Christian education over government education for my own children, for the most part, and for the children I work with. I taught in a Christian school for 10 years, and now I'm teaching homeschooled children from Christian families. I've been doing that for probably about 11 years, and I do think there's just a real advantage to that, because you can teach every subject from the basis of who God is. You can give a Christian perspective, a biblical worldview, because there is one for every subject, and you can freely do that. And so that's why I have always chosen that myself. However, let me be careful and say I have some very godly friends who have done a most excellent job of teaching their children. Their children are godly kids who have a great comprehension of the basic truths of Christianity and of the Bible, and they went to government schools all their lives. It is, of course, going to be, I think the question is, how much time can you spend teaching and counter countering what they have met in the schools as they've gone all day. I mean, it's a big chunk of time for a child to be at school. So I do think it's a lot more workable and a lot easier to do it. I mean, it just makes more sense to me to do it from all your teaching from a Christian perspective. But I don't want to just wholesale say anyone who sends their kids off to government school is not doing their job, because that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Good answer. You use 3 R's. First of all, let me commend you for using the same letter each time. What do we refer to that as? Alliteration.
Oh, alliteration,
sorry. I couldn't think of that myself. And I was going to say, commend you for doing that, because I have that same disease of doing that in my sermons the whole time. But I think it's chapter 11 in the book, you have rigor, reading, and rote, and then and balance, some foundational how-tos. Now, those three things, rigor, first of all, people say, well, come on, let the kids be kids. Do we really need to put rigor into learning? Let's just, you know, it doesn't seem to fit with today's advice that we get from so many of the consultants today. Reading, man, it's so simple, and yet I find it to be so profound. I have an 8-year-old grandson who has a tremendous vocabulary, and primarily because of his mom, who loved to read. She's also a second grade school teacher in a Christian school, but she read to him a lot, and his vocabulary for an 8-year-old is just outstanding. Mm-hmm. And then the last part there, you talk about rote, and people wrote, man, that went out with the McGuffey readers, you know, going over it and over again. Really, are we supposed to use those type of techniques? Make your case for all three of those, if you would, please.
Sure. Rigor. Think about taking your child to piano lessons, dance lessons, soccer practice. Think about when your children are learning math, when your children are learning to read. Do you let them get away with, you know, maybe a half an hour a week? No, they drill, they work at it, they learn all they need to know about it. It's constant. And so if you're going to learn a subject, if you're going to master it, it's going to require rigor. Reading was just making the case for teaching our children to read, helping our children to love reading as much as possible. Not every child will, not every adult will, but making that an important part of family life growing up. And then wrote, just because it went out doesn't mean that it wasn't working well, and especially with young children, they memorize so easily. It is astonishing how much that, you know, you think, oh, now I've done it. They've just got so much to memorize. How can I possibly add this other thing? But they just soak it up. They're so good at it. And so it's foolish not to take advantage of that while they're young and just help them memorize things.
I totally agree. The Bible speaks about reiteration. A lot of times the apostle will say, mention something to his readers, and then he'll say, you know, I mentioned this before, but for you it's important that I mention it again. So reiteration of the truth we find right in the Word of God itself. And over and over again sometimes. And
I should have made that my fourth R.
Reiteration. I was putting it in with the rote, but yeah, you're right. Star, thank you so much for writing this book. I think it's going to be a tremendous asset to parents, to give them a good framework about how to go through the education of their children, especially with Mother's Day coming up. I think it'll be a great gift for people to get for young mothers, especially with their children. So thank you for writing the book, and thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk with us for a few moments about it here today on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Both were my pleasure entirely.
Well, thank you. Okay, bye-bye now. That was Star Mead, and the book that we've been talking about for the last 25 minutes or so is the book entitled Give Them Truth, Teaching Eternal Truth to Young Minds. And again, the author is Star Mead. You can go out there and check it out for yourself and get a copy of it. I think I was serious. I think, you know, if you're looking for something to get for a young mother for Mother's Day, here's a great gift. You know, the flowers are going to wilt. The candy will be gone in a half an hour. But here's something that will help her with her responsibility of training the children this will be a great asset to her. I think it would be a great gift to give. Again, it's prpbooks.com. Go out there. The book is Give Them Truth.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.